this week's edition of Food Friday now. When it's time for you to go grocery shopping or figure out some meals for the week, where do you go? Do you have some go-to recipes in your head? Still cooking out of a well-loved cookbook? Browsing online? There are so many ways to find and save recipes these days. Maybe you feel like you like the feel of a physical cookbook, like Paula on Facebook. Paula says, I have hundreds of cookbooks and prefer the cookbook to anything online. It's much easier to open the book than to keep unlocking a phone and see the recipe, because I never have ink in my printer. If I do look online, Pinterest and Yumly are my go-tos. Or maybe you're more like Janice, who says, although I have a full cabinet of cookbooks, searching through them is time-consuming. Online is quicker. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you go to get recipes? Do you search online, read some blogs, or do you have some favorite cookbooks to go to? Or do you check new ones out of the library all the time? Or do you have a favorite treasure trove of family recipes? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson joins me now. Judith, hi.
Hey, you're up.
Well, you are in the midst of a challenge. This is part of what inspired this this idea for Food Friday. You're doing something this year.
So I decided, I'm trying a few different things, including setting a goal for visiting some restaurants that are new to me as well. That's another kind of eating. But the cooking challenge is I decided I was going to try 20 new recipes in 2020.
Wow. Nice round numbers there.
Well, I have to say, I was going to go conservative and go 12. And then my husband said, 20. So 20. And actually, I am off to a good start. I've done six so far.
Six. You're ahead of the game.
I am.
Now, before we get into some particular ideas you've tried, where are you going for inspiration?
Yeah, that's why I was really happy to join you today, because it's been a little bit of everything. I mean, I definitely do look online for some. I do like kind of plugging in, you know, if there are a couple of ingredients that I either have a taste for or have handy, you know, I'll plug those in and see kind of what pops up. I do have a not large by some standards, but I have probably a few dozen cookbooks that I find I don't go to as often as I would like to think I do. So that's another part of the project, is I'm actually going through cookbooks. And if there aren't more than like three or four recipes in there that I could actually see myself making, I'm giving them away. But I'm scanning. If there are a couple of recipes in a particular book, I'm scanning them so I will have access to them and can search for them.
Sometimes when I have that cookbook around or I'm considering getting it, I have to tell myself, okay, this is aspirational. There's one or two recipes here that I'm going to make. Realistically, I'm going to look at the rest of them and say, yeah, no, I don't have time
for that. Exactly. And yeah, it's kind of being more realistic about what I'm really going to do, not just, oh, that looks really delicious from the gorgeous, you know, food styling picture. Am I ever going to really make it? Often the answer is no.
Well, and even if I do make it, it's not going to look like it does in the
exactly.
picture. I am not a food stylist. Let's bring out a caller before we get back to some of your stories, Judith, at 800-642-1234. Laura is with us in Manitowoc. Laura, hi.
Hi. I'm so glad you're asking this question, because I've just been telling everybody about this. I go on, you know, I'm always on Pinterest, and I follow the New York Times food Pinterest site, and they're always posting, of course, amazing pictures of food. I want to make everything I see, and I am not a cook. I do not like to cook, but I have made very many of those recipes, and they all turn out great, and they're surprisingly not complicated. You would think from the New York Times they'd be very gourmet, and they do taste very gourmet, but they're really not that difficult.
Is there a favorite one, Laura, that you've come across? Oh, no. We're losing Laura's line there. We'll have to be in suspense forever on that favorite recipe. But, Laura, thank you so much. I worry sometimes going on random, you know, the Pinterest or just searching online or whatever, and it's some person's recipe, and it might be awesome, and it might be terrible.
Right.
That's an interesting way, like, go to a site like that, but follow a reliable source.
I actually just signed up for the New York Times food emails, and they link to a bunch of different recipes. And I guess what I like is that it's easily searchable. I go into my email account and search, you know, cucumber, and all these, you know, different emails will pop up, because either I've saved recipes, sent them to myself from different sites, or, you know, it came in some email.
Now, this is a bit of a digression. I saw just a news article the other day that people are putting all these food hacks online. These, like, hey, you're going to save yourself effort, but they're making them up. They're terrible. And some people are testing them. And then some of these sites are now taking them off of their sites. One of them is like bleaching strawberries.
Oh.
don't bleach your strawberries. That's not something you should do. So I think the lesson there is if something sounds really stupid in a recipe, don't do it.
And back
for the good stuff.
If I do search for, you know, a couple ingredients or something, I kind of look for what look like, as you said, you know, more reputable sites or sources than just, you know, some random blog.
Thanks a lot for that call, Laura, at 800-642-1234. We're asking you where you go for inspiration to find new recipes. Do you have cookbooks you go back to again and again? Do you like to scout out new cookbooks? Or do you go online randomly? Or do you have favorite online sources? Or we always love to hear if you have that family treasure trove of recipes that somebody wrote or clipped or whatever from years past. Tell us about that too. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jill told us on Facebook she prefers the hard copies and she likes that she can add her comments to a book. She loves vintage cookbooks also with comments from the previous owner.
That's really cool.
I like that. And that's a great thing to hand on to somebody down the road too, I think.
So I will say that one resource that I was very pleased to use and find something great in was the Food Friday Archive.
Oh, yeah. We do that. We keep all of our old recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday.
So I went poking around in there and I found a few that I wanted to try. And one was when we had Dory Greenspan on for her book, Everyday Dory. And it was a sheet pan supper, balsamic chicken with baby potatoes and mushrooms.
Ooh.
And it was really, really tasty. I will say as a caveat, you cook it at a pretty high level in the oven and it set off the smoke detector twice. So perhaps run the fan a little earlier than I did would be a good idea, or do it in weather where you can have the windows open. But it was delicious and really, really easy.
That's great. I'll say when our oven goes on, usually the fan goes on because we have kids who like frozen pizza and, well, one thing leads to another there. Give us another recipe or two that you've run across, Judith, and where you found them.
Sure. So going back to an actual, you know, hardcover in the hand cookbook, The Art of Simple Food by Alice Waters. She is known for her restaurant Chez Panisse in Oakland, or Berkeley, I believe it is. A very kind of farm to table. She was really on the front end of that, you know, seasonal local food movement. It was a mushroom ragu for putting over pasta or chicken, and it was divine. It's in our house, those kind of things get the label instant classic. And
fantastic.
This was given instant classic. Really tasty. It said it made 2 cups. I think it made 2 cups for each of 10 people. There was a whole lot of it, which I always think mushrooms kind of shrink up. But it was delicious. We had it over pasta. We had it over chicken. You could eat it anyway.
Fantastic. Let's go back to your calls now. We're asking for your favorite recipe sources, whether it's a physical book, collection of books, or online, searching randomly or a favorite site. Back to your calls now. David is with us in Milwaukee. David, hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good. What do you want to tell us about, David?
Me and my wife, we got married this fall in October, and one of our presents that we got from our wedding was my sister-in-law made a recipe book that is both our family recipes from my side of the family and from my wife's side of her family.
Oh, wow.
It's got a bunch of family pictures along with some of the actual pictures of the food it makes and then some just like pictures of people that, you know, grandmas and relatives and stuff like that.
That's great. David, is there a favorite recipe so far that you've made out of the new made family cookbook?
Some of it has definitely expanded my horizons. I don't know if I really have a favorite. There's a rice recipe that we've used a number of times. Her dad grew up in Samoa, and there's a Samoan rice recipe that I've made a lot. It's pretty simple. I like that one.
That sounds great, David. Congratulations, and congratulations on getting such a great gift.
That's a good idea. That's so thoughtful, and to have it from both sides of the family.
Yeah.
That's really special.
Fantastic, David. Thank you for sharing that. Do you have, Judith, a favorite family hand-me-down type recipe?
Oh, you know, my mom passed away when I was relatively young, and there are some things that she made that once in a while I'll make, but I never had a recipe for it, so they're not quite the same. But yeah, basically, you know, kind of Italian-American comfort food.
Sounds good. All right, back to your calls. Karina is with us now in South Milwaukee. Karina, hi.
Hi. I was a huge fan of America's Test Kitchen, and I know they recently changed it to Milk Street, but I love the recipes that they do and the fact that they've tested them out in their kitchens and have come up with, you know, great efficient ways for home cooks to make them. You know, we don't always have access to the type of equipment that people do in, you know, restaurants and hotels. So I think it's so great that they make them more adaptable to, you know, the everyday home cook. And I really trust what they have to say. They're great.
Karina, thank you so much for sharing that. America's Test Kitchen and Milk Street are both existing things and both provide frequent guests to our show here.
And I will say Central Time producer Bill Martin's huge fan of America's
ATK. Definitely. Thank you so much for that call. We are asking you for your favorite sources for recipes. Judith Sears Poisson is with me. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Share a favorite cookbook or a group of cookbooks, a favorite website that you go to find recipes. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll hear from more of you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday, and we want to hear from you. Where do you go for recipes? Do you like to use physical cookbooks, or do you go online? Do you have a favorite book or website? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Central Time producer Judith Sears Poisson in the studio with me. Judith, before we go back to callers, I know one of your goals, you're doing this 20 new recipes in 2020 yes. challenge. You're also focusing on some healthier cooking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all get to a point in life where you have to pay a little bit more attention to what you're eating, not just quantity, but quality and different things. And so I really enjoy the Nutrition Action newsletter. They have a lot of good health information. They also have really simple recipes that really you can see any of them and think, oh, yeah, I could make that. And one that I tried, it's a tofu peanut stew, but you could certainly do chicken with it. It was amazing and great for lunches. I also like that, too. Something you can make primarily for a dinner, but then maybe have a couple small portions left for lunches. And it had spinach. It called for crunchy peanut butter, which I did not have, but I used smooth peanut butter and then put some whole peanuts on the top. It has some tomato. It was so yummy and also really filling. And I put it over quinoa to soak up some of the sauce.
That sounds great. Let's go back to your calls now. Russ is with us in Monroe. Russ, hello.
Hi. I'm a chef owner, last 10 years, and love Food Friday. And I do have a lot of cookbooks that I use for inspiration. But having a phone and Google, you have the source of everything in the world you could ever think of. And especially one website called All Recipes I found very reliable. And I go to it often to learn the basis the basics of certain recipes. And then I do what I want beyond that. But I find having the phone is just an amazing tool.
So you're a chef, Russ. You find inspiration from a site like All Recipes and then adapt it to make it your own at your restaurant?
Absolutely. If you're looking like for a particular recipe, maybe something Asian influenced, you can go to that and get like, okay, these are the basic ingredients. This is the flavor I'm looking for. What can I do to make it my own?
Russ, thanks a lot for the call. And good to hear some Food Friday love from
thanks,
a pro.
Russ.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I do this sometimes. I've got my phone there on the counter. And I'm cooking along with it. It's, you know, there's downsides there.
There are a lot of downsides. I usually have my iPad and I've got it, you know, I've got the nice thing that makes it stand up. And, you know, I feel like I have to wash my hands 42 times
because
it goes to sleep in between and everything. Yeah. So I have to say I like the ease of it and it's the ease of it up until I'm actually trying to cook from it.
Yeah, I do that in a pinch. One time I had it's kind of banana bread or something, or zucchini bread, I think. And it was one that used applesauce, and I pulled the applesauce out of the fridge, and it was moldy. So I needed a recipe right quick. There I go to the phone. Usually I'll, print something off online if I'm doing that. Thanks a lot for that call. Becky joins us now in Duluth. Becky, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to tell us about, Becky?
Well, I say that I get a lot of my recipes just from scrolling through Facebook, but one of the links that reminds me that I get a lot is from King Arthur Flour, and they offer a lot of ideas. They have a fabulous website, and the best thing about their website is when people comment on the recipes, they answer, and they also have a hotline. So if you have a question or something didn't work out, they have people that are available, home economists, that will actually troubleshoot with you.
Becky, thank you so much. King Arthur Flour. Yeah, some companies that provide goods put a lot of recipes out there. I like the idea that they will interact with you.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, the turkey people do that like on Thanksgiving, but I didn't know King Arthur does that all year. So that's awesome, especially for baking, because baking can be a little touchy.
Definitely, definitely. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. I love the genre of comments on recipes, though, that are like, yeah, I substituted, you know, rice in for the chicken and pepper in for the sugar, and it came out terrible. Yeah. Your recipe, 0 stars.
Yeah, yeah. Or people who haven't actually tried it and think, oh, that sounds very good.
Bad. Yeah. Thanks a lot for that call. Jim joins us now in Saukville. Jim, hello.
Good afternoon.
What did you want to tell us about for your recipe sources, Jim?
In many cases, I just invent them. I look at what I have, and then I make things. So the most recent one was the other day I made something I called jambalaya.
So what was different about jambalaya, just based on what was in your fridge?
Well, my family is allergic to shellfish.
Oh, okay.
So I can't use those kinds of things. But I had half of a ring Polish sausage in my fridge, and I had some leftover brown rice.
I'm in. And that sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So I started with bacon, 4 slices cut into a 1-inch or 1/2-inch pieces. Then I added a half a red onion. Then I added my sausage. Then I added a fresh pineapple cut into small chunks.
Ooh.
Green peas. A can of chunk tomato or tomato cubes.
Uh-huh.
And then spices were real simple, just about 1/4 teaspoon of turmeric and 1/4 teaspoon of curry powder.
Fantastic. That sounds like classic jambalaya to me.
It does. It does. I've seen that version of jambalaya everywhere.
That's right.
Especially in Saukville.
But I do like, so what the key he said there, though, was like you take what you have. And I appreciate cookbooks and recipe sources. And you were talking about this earlier, that give you the technique, the basics, and then you can kind of improvise around it.
Right. And I think once you get down some of those basic techniques, then like Jim was saying, you can branch out and think, oh, well, it was good with chicken. How would it be with pork or tofu or things like that? What I'm finding as I'm going through my cookbook collection and really culling out a lot of it is I'm keeping the basics. I'm keeping Julia Child. I'm keeping Martha Stewart. I'm keeping Jacques Pepin because they tell you how to do the basics. Why are you making a face?
Oh, no. It just reminds me,
when I was first
moving into, you know, an apartment with a kitchen in it, one of my aunts gave me your basic Betty Crocker cookbook. I still have it. I use it occasionally now, not knowing how to cook. It really laid it out. Basics, a lot of stuff to try in there. That simple stuff can make a big difference. Back to your calls now. Susie is with us in Viroqua. Susie, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
So I have 2 people in my family with gluten allergy and 1 with dairy allergy, so I'm not allowed to cook normal anymore. And what I've learned in that process is rather than looking for the gluten-free, dairy-free cookbooks, I look for other ways of preparing those meals. So Everyday Mexican, Beyond Curry, and Simply Nigella are 3 cookbooks that I go to frequently. And I also will use the internet. So if I want to make something that typically has some flour in it, like cornbread, I'll go and see what they have for gluten-free and try to find that recipe that has very little flour and then I can substitute. I've found that going with normal foods and then trying to, substitute as little as possible to meet those, allergies has been successful.
Interesting. Good finds there, Susie. Thanks a lot for sharing that. Time for another caller or two, I think. Linda is with us in North Freedom. Linda, hi.
Hi.
What's your go-to source for recipes, Linda?
Well, my husband and I really enjoy it's a cookbook called The Meat Cookbook by Bruce Adell.
The Meat Cookbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it focuses primarily on beef, pork, and lamb, and it shows you where the different cuts of meat come from, talks about the different ways to prepare the meat, and then features recipes from, you know, like ranging from Tex-Mex to Greek to Indian, and gives you ideas on how to use leftovers. And it's a really, and it also includes some side dishes in there too.
And I want to say Bruce Adell's was on the Ideas Network at some point. I can't remember if it was Central Time or if it was actually on the Larry Mueller show, but I'm pretty sure that he's actually been a guest and there would be some recipes up on our website.
Definitely. Linda, thank you so much for sharing that. I like the idea. And we've talked to a couple cookbook authors who talk about what to do with the leftover foods, too. I like that kind of really practical advice that you don't always find in a cookbook. Thanks for that call. Derek joins us now in La Crosse. Derek, hello.
Hey.
Where do you go for recipes, Derek?
Well, I go online because they have so many variations of the same recipe and you can do them in so many different ways. Like I had a enchilada that was, you didn't use the sauce, you used sour cream instead.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no sauce, it was just sour cream and all the other ingredients, you know, tortillas rolled in. But it was sour cream instead of the sauce.
Yum. Derek, thanks a lot for that. And that reminds me, Judith, like sometimes I'll do what Derek does and I'll search for blank food. But my problem is sometimes like, wait, I'm looking at 12 different recipes. They're all different and I'm overwhelmed by the bountiful choices available unto me.
Right. I think there is something to the fact that too much choice can be a little overwhelming. But when you find what I do is I email myself the recipes so that I can find them again instead of doing another search. And like you said, coming up with, you know, 14 different recipes that kind of sound like what I made. And then I can just search.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes when I print, because I worry, am I going to be able to find that link again? I will bookmark links for a recipe or I'll print it off. And I've got a folder of by now heavily stained printed off pieces of paper with recipes. But a lot of those are ones that I go back to again and again when I find a hit.
Right.
I should probably have a binder.
You should.
Or something like that.
And take beautiful styled photos of them.
Thanks to everybody for your calls. Judith, you know, you've got your 20 for 2020 challenge.
Yes.
You've done, you said, six already.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's next? Or is there a type of recipe you're looking for next?
You know, I'm trying to actually mix it up a little bit. The most recent one I did was the spicy honey brushed chicken thighs from myrecipes.com. That was really tasty. I will keep you posted. And maybe we can talk about my next ones.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people are wondering, you're trying all these new recipes and you're not bringing them in, you know, for
a lot of
tests.
People are wondering.
There's
really
been a lot of talk.
Well,
in
I will
society.
Say if anybody has a great recipe that I really should try, email centraltime@wpr.org and tell me what to try.
Yeah, I might try it too. Judith, thanks a lot. It's been fun. That's Judith Sears Poisson, Central Time executive producer. We've been talking about different places to find recipes and cooking inspiration. Books, online, wherever. You can keep it going at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Share your favorites.